I'd like to speak with you for a little while about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We hear many today who have loved the deity of God. They are saying things like this, Jesus, meet my friend. Well, I'd like you to meet my Lord, Jesus. One of the greatest tragedies in Christendom in this very hour is that we have lowered the deity of God almost to the gutter. Oh, I know that many of you tonight have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. But is he Lord of your life? For indeed, he is the Lord Jesus Christ. But so often the crown is taken from him and the throne is given to another. But tonight you are here in this gospel meeting and you are claiming to know Jesus. But do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? I remember many years ago now, I had to make one of the greatest decisions of my life. When I got saved, I had to go to my mother and father who were divorced. And I had to say to them, please forgive me for all of the heartache that I caused you as a teenager and as a child. And I had to show them the love of Christ. But there came a time when I went to see my mother to confront her about the Lord Jesus Christ. And my mother is a very powerful woman in witchcraft. And I've been involved in witchcraft. And I went along with another minister, another brother minister, to plead with my mother to give up the Jesus that she knew and to come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And I'll never forget that day as long as I live, because my mother said to me, unless you, my firstborn, are prepared to renounce the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledge my Jesus, then I disown you totally. And I walked through the front gate of where she was then living with tears streaming down my cheeks. And I said this. I said, Lord Jesus, I love you, and no matter what the cost, I am not going to deny you. That cost me my relationship with my own mother. My mother, as far as I'm concerned, I'm dead.
You see, many people don't know this unless you've been in witchcraft and unless you've worked in the deliverance ministry. There is a black Jesus. There's a counterfeit Jesus. Did you know that?
And you see, many people who have come to a knowledge of a Jesus, sometimes in a gospel meeting, have met the counterfeit. And for them, it has begun a life of deception. And during this week, whilst I was away praying, I was reading the book, Why Revival Tarries, by Leonard Ravenhill. And whilst I was reading that book, I was reading with great understanding a passage of Scripture that said something like this. The Lord Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? You know where that story is found in the book of Acts?
You see, the Bible clearly says in 1 Corinthians 12:13 that no man, no woman can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. You see, in life there are many obstacles, and we all have to encounter them day by day. But before us tonight in the Scripture, we have an encounter here again with an obstacle. And it's in the phrase, no man can. For indeed no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. You see, the obstacle, which is indeed our inability, is in the heart of every man and every woman and every young person until there is divine intervention, and that divine intervention is demonstrated in the person and power of the Holy Spirit. Now it is the Holy Spirit who takes the things of Christ and makes them known to us. It is the Holy Spirit who forms Christ in us when we become believers. And the great truth of the gospel message is that you cannot make Christ your Lord when you choose
Oh, no. It is when the Holy Spirit chooses. And when is that? It is at the moment of salvation, when you become a born of God Christian and the Holy Spirit indwells you. It is at that moment that Jesus Christ becomes Lord.
Or at least he should.
Not because of anything you may think
that you have done, but because of the ministry of God the Holy Spirit.
The Bible also teaches
that the Lordship of Christ is acknowledged by God the Father. And in the eyes of God the Father, Jesus Christ is Lord. Acts 2:26 says, God has made that same Jesus, said Peter, at the end of his great sermon on the day of Pentecost, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. God the Father made and acknowledged Jesus as Lord, Kyrios, and Christ, Christos.
See, God the Father made God the Son Lord.
And it is God the Holy Spirit who confirms this truth in the Christian today. Now let me say this with the spirit of love to you. The Holy Spirit is not Lord. He's not the Lord Holy Spirit. Now in the Philippian letter, after speaking of a great event, that is when Christ left heaven's glory and came to this earth, took on human flesh, and then was crucified on a cross on a hill called Calvary, Paul goes on to write, God has highly exalted him, that is Christ, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So what is Paul saying here? He's saying that God the Father has made God the Son Lord. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you tonight, as the Holy Spirit confirms in your life that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is he your Lord? The writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews 2:9 puts it this way. We see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the sufferings of death, crowned with glory and honor. When I look at the Word of God, I see that God the Father has acknowledged God the Son as Lord. And so the Lordship becomes ours at the moment of salvation. Now, these things may not mean much to you. They meant a lot to me.
When I was a practicing alcoholic, I used to walk through doors of hotels that had little signs above them under new management. And I lost count of how many doors of hotels I walked through
that had that sign up under new management. And so when I became a Christian, I didn't have a great lot of difficulty with acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord, because I was under new management. Because the Lordship of Christ becomes ours at the moment of salvation. And when I read Romans chapter 6, I find there a picture of a converted person, and there I find two great changes have taken place in the person's life. The first is a change of ownership. And the second is a change of occupation. And the tragedy tonight is that there are many professing Christians who perhaps have the first but do not acknowledge the second. Now concerning ownership, Paul says in Romans 6:20, you were slaves to sin. Sin was your master. Sin was your Lord. Sin dominated you and held you in its grip. But now, in Christ, you have become slaves to God. But listen carefully to the truth of the gospel message. The implication of any conversion experience is that Christ must be Lord. For by a transfer of grace from sin to Christ, a person comes out of one dominion into another. Out of slavery to sin to become a bond slave owned by God. Oh, there were many things that used to own me out there in the world. Alcohol, poker machine, racetrack. Used to love going to the races. Never back to winner. Owned by the world until I met Christ. I was under new management. But then as I look at Romans 6, I see that there should also be a change of occupation. From verse 13 of Romans 6 following, I am reminded that my members of my body were once used as instruments of wickedness. That is to say, my hands and my feet, my eyes, my tongue, my mind, and all there is of me was used to serve wickedness. But after my moment of salvation, the Bible said very clearly to me, through those who used to read it to me, that I am now to yield my members of my body as instruments of righteousness unto God. Hearing those words, I realized that for me, a child of God, a converted person, there had to be change of occupation. Instead of being occupied with Satan and his demons, I now became occupied with Christ. I want to ask you tonight, are you occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, you're a Christian. And you would say tonight, without fear of hesitation, that you are under the ownership of Christ. But have you changed occupation for Christ? You see, instead of trading in wickedness, a converted person should now train in the goodness and grace of God. The great truth of this message is that the Lordship of Christ is acknowledged by God the Father and becomes ours at the moment of salvation. And the Lordship of Christ is established by the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And when we become born of God Christians, we have the Holy Spirit. And when the Lord Jesus Christ promised the Holy Spirit, he said, he shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and show it unto you. Romans 8:9 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. None of his. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit in every born of God Christian is there to glorify Christ. He is not in the believer to establish a precedent for himself, but he is there to establish the Lordship of Christ in the believer. See, the Holy Spirit enables me to make Christ my King and my Lord, and he, the Lord Christ, is still wearing his crown, and he's still sitting on the throne. But what about you? Is Christ your Lord and King of your life? Is he? I'd be very careful before I answered that, if I were you, unless you can answer it honestly and truthfully. And I'll tell you why. If Christ is not your Lord and your King, and you ever sit in a deliverance room when the demons are really playing up, you know what's going to happen to you? A demon is going to laugh in your face. The Apostle Paul writes in the second letter to the Corinthians, we preach Jesus as Lord. As Lord. Then remember the time regarding the Philippian jailer when he asked Paul this question, what must I do to be saved? And Paul replied, believe on Jesus as Lord. That's what it literally means in the original. Believe on Jesus as Lord. And the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And what is Paul reminding us about here in 1 Corinthians 12? Or we can get lost in 1 Corinthians 12 and miss the complete principle. He's saying no man can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit.
Can you say that Jesus is your Lord?
You know, in John chapter 20, there's a beautiful illustration of all of this great truth. Here is Mary Magdalene. And have you ever looked at the way Mary Magdalene referred to Christ?
She refers to him in John chapter 20 in three ways, three distinct ways.
First of all, she called him the Lord. And then a little later, she called Christ my Lord. And then a little later, she just called Christ him. Mary thought everybody would know who him was. For he was so much her Lord that he needed no name. To Mary, Christ was just him, complete. Is he your Lord? Lord of your heart and Lord of your life, Lord of your home, Lord of your marriage, Lord of your bank account, and Lord of all that you have. Is he Lord?
For when he becomes Lord,
there will come revival in the Christian church. I've had the privilege of being in countries where there's been great revival, and I've listened to some saints of God tell me of what happened when the revival came. And one of the things that comes most to my mind from those conversations is simply this. The revival fire fell when we made him Lord. And revival fire will fall in this country and in this church and in your life and mine when we make Christ Jesus Lord of our lives.
Do you want to see revival? When I was crusading, I've seen people come and absolutely fall on their face halfway through the sermon in true repentance. I remember one night in Bunbury when we first started a crusade in Western Australia, an 8-day crusade, and it went on night after night. People were broken under the power of the Holy Spirit and under the Lordship of Christ even before the meeting began. Have you seen anything like that yet? Have you?
When I was in Northern Ireland, I was taken to some of the parts of Northern Ireland where revival had broken out in the days of W.P. Nicholson. And somehow it seemed to still linger in the atmosphere. And I remember staying in the home of a lovely Irish couple who were very close friends with the late Willie Mott. And as I traveled all over different parts of Northern Ireland, I could still sense and feel the results of revival. When I was in Aberdeen in Scotland, I met people who were involved in the revival movement of the islands just north. And I'm asking you tonight, on the authority of the Word of God, are you prepared to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life? Are you? Are you? Are you willing tonight, whatever the cost, if the Lord should say to you tonight, I want you to forsake all for me, would you be prepared to forsake all for Christ tonight? Are you prepared to say, take my hands, take my feet, take my voice, take my silver and my gold, take my intellect, take my will? Are you willing to say that to Christ tonight? Are you? In a moment I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing an invitation hymn. But let me ask you this question in the spirit of love. Are you really prepared to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life tonight? Say yes if you mean it. Don't say it if you don't mean it. Don't mock God. Are you willing this very night, this 21st of August, 1988, here in this upper mount of that Baptist church, are you willing in the presence of the holy angels of God and in the presence of Almighty God to stand up and say, yes, tonight I will make Jesus Christ Lord of my life? Are you willing? Are you willing? In a moment we pray, and then we're going to sing an invitation hymn. And those of you who are willing this very night, irrespective of the cost, I was saved in 1959, and I was in a gospel meeting like, and the invitation was given, and the challenge was, are you prepared to make Christ Lord of you? And I can remember as if it was now. I was illiterate. I couldn't even read a book. I could hardly write my name on checks that used to bounce when I wanted to buy drugs. I had no education. I was just an ordinary bus driver, country boy off a farm. But that Saturday night, I said, Lord, I will make you Lord of mine. No matter what the cost. And I can still remember the look on my Beryl's face. And I said to her, tonight I made Christ the Lord of my life. He then started to educate me. Took me to a speech therapy. To a lovely Roman Catholic family who taught me how to read and write. And off the Bible college. Off the theological college. You know, beloved people, that would have never happened if I had not made him Lord of my life. Oh, there were times when we ate bread and Vegemite soup and sausage mince for the glory of Christ, and I'd do it again. I'd do it again. And I want to give you the opportunity now to pray, to seek the Lord. Our Father, we pray tonight that He, the Holy Spirit, will do His own work, and He will glorify Christ in us. And I pray for my brothers and sisters right now. Our Father, we pray that they now will hear your voice and that they will willingly claim Jesus Christ as Lord tonight. Our Father, we long for revival fire to burn in this country. But it must burn within our hearts first. And our Father, we must confess that if we can't make Christ Lord, then our love for the world is greater than it is for Christ. We thank you, our Father, that you see every heart in this building tonight. You know every heart. And our Father, you know my heart. You know that I long for revival to come into this country. And you know that I know that revival begins in me. And Lord Jesus, I dedicate my life afresh to you tonight and claim you afresh as my Lord, no matter what the cost. And our Father, if I was to arrive home tonight and everything was in ashes, I would still claim you as my Lord. And I thank you for loving me from Calvary's cross. Amen. The hymn is 280. Have you longed for sweet peace, for faith to increase? Have you earnestly and fervently prayed? But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. the light of His Word, would you? And have peace and contentment always? You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. You're not coming to a man. You're coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church.